Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
Hey there, Enjoyers. Hope you're doing really well today. Well, here we are coming from the Baxter household. Hope you're having a great day wherever you are. We are in for an incredible time as we come around the Word. I want you to know right from the beginning today, I am over it. That's where it starts. That's where it ends, almost, but that's where it starts. There's no doubt about that. I am over it. I don't know about anybody else. I felt like the prison doors of restriction were opening, but then in one moment, bang, they've been slapped in our face again, and we're back in restriction. But you know what? God is still on the throne, and God has got a plan. God has got a future, and He's going to lead us into the fullness thereof. I want you to know right from the start today, you've probably already worked it out, I am disappointed. Not just a little disappointed, I am disappointed. I'm disappointed for you. I'm disappointed for me. I'm disappointed for us and for where we find ourselves at this point in time. Disappointment, unfortunately, is par for the course on that we find ourselves on at this particular point in time. But don't allow that disappointment to consume you, because I promise you, God has got a glorious plan and a glorious future for each and every one of us. Now, why do I want you to know that I'm disappointed? Because I want you to allow yourself to be real with your feelings. If you are feeling disappointed in this season, you are not alone. I think, to be honest, most of us are feeling disappointed. And it actually makes perfect sense when you think about it. The Bible tells us clearly in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12, hope deferred makes the heart sick. So if you're disappointed in this season, understand that's perfectly natural. So we have hopes. You should have hopes in Christ. How many of you know He is the hope of our salvation, and He wants to bring you hope? We have hopes in regards to our families, our friends, our work, our finances, our businesses, our ministries, our dreams, etc. We were beginning to step them out again. We're beginning to reach for them again. Then out of nowhere, it feels like the prison door has been slammed in our face. So what are we going to do, church? We need to ask ourselves, Enjoyers, what are we going to do? Are we going to be overcome by our disappointment? Or are we going to overcome our disappointment and be the conquerors in Christ that we are called to be? Church, can I put it to you this way? In this season, this is not a time for you to shrink back, not a time for us to shrink back, but this is a time, if you're feeling discouraged, if you're feeling like you want to give up, I want to say to you today, this is a time, as I said last week, for the weak to say, I am strong. For us to say and to declare together, greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. For us to declare together that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty. Praise God, they are mighty in the Holy Ghost. Yes, it's disappointing. No doubt about that. Yes, it is inconvenient, very inconvenient. And yes, it is bringing hardship into many of our lives. I get it and I understand it. But I want to remind you today, church, that the battle, it belongs to the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. And if the battle belongs to the Lord, then I need to armor up. That's right. I need to get my armor on and I need to follow Him into the battle. I want to encourage you today to put on the full armor of God. This is not a time to be on the couch. This is not a time to be sleeping the days away, but this is a time to put on the full armor of God and follow the Lord into the battle. Now, as part of the armor, we have our shield. The shield is our faith. Our faith is our shield. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Praise God. I don't know about you. I love the fact that our Lord is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek Him. Therefore, we need to rise up in faith and seek the Lord in this season. So what is faith? Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We are sure and we are certain. We know it in our knower that God is at work, that God is moving, that the Spirit of God is hovering. And I promise you, He is hovering to do you good. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 16 says, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. Now notice there, it's a command here. Take up the shield of faith. Enjoyers, can I encourage you today? Take up the shield of faith. Don't be thinking that there's nothing you can do. Don't be thinking that this isn't a season to be proactive. No, if we're going to follow Jesus, we need to take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So it is our faith. In fact, it is our faith in action that has the ability to protect us, and it will protect you from all the stuff that the enemy is wanting to throw your way. So your shield of faith will protect you, and you carry the shield in one hand, but how many of you know, most of us have got two hands here, so we've got the shield in one hand and we've got the sword of the Spirit in the other. And we need the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. This is our Bible, and we all know we are a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. The Bible is our foundation. The Bible is that which we are building our lives and our families and our businesses and our ministries. We build upon the Word of God because it is the foundation of our life. Now, in this season, come on, enjoyers, I need you to lean in now, because I got to tell you, I am preaching well and you're listening well today, but I need you to help me out here. I need every individual to lean in and to step into the game with us, that together we might come out the other side and not just fall out the other side, but actually come out the other side strong. We need everybody in. We need you at this time to pick up your shield of faith, to carry the shield of faith. And at the same time, we need to wield the sword of the Spirit. All right, we're going to war here. That's what we're doing. We're not just going to lie down and become roadkill for the enemy. No, we are rising up in faith. We're stepping into battle. We've got our shield of faith and we have the sword of the Spirit. Yes, the battle belongs to the Lord. There is no doubt about that. The battle belongs to the Lord, and He will lead us into battle, and He will lead us triumphantly from the battle. But we need to lift up the shield of faith and we need to wield the sword of the Spirit. So if you would like to come out of this COVID season, not just intact, but triumphantly, I want to encourage you to embrace the following three verses. Now, three verses. What are the verses? Verses are the Bible. The Bible is the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is what we're going to wield in Jesus' name. I want you to embrace these three verses and make them your own. I am praying. It is my heart's desire. I promise you, church, that in all of this, I am praying for you. We are praying for you. And I really believe these three verses are keys to us not only coming through intact, but actually coming out triumphantly, stronger than how we went in. I want to encourage you to commit to them, and I want to encourage you to speak of them, because as you do, I believe you're going to save both yourself and your hearers in Jesus' name. So over recent weeks, I've had these three verses and they are just shouting at me, beginning with Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a companion who will help him." Now we know that in context, this verse is actually about the marriage union. We have no doubt about that, the marriage covenant. That's what this verse is about. But friends, I want to say to you that the principle remains true for all of us all of the time. It is not good for man to be alone. And God wants to bring people into our life, into our sphere, into our space, and into our place that are going to help us to be the incredible men and women that God would have us become. Now, the challenge is, in this season, this is what we're facing. Here is the challenge. The challenge is that as a church and as a people of God, we are doing all that we can to connect people to Christ and connect people to each other. But due to the coronavirus, the government is doing all it can to isolate people. Now, as I say that, I do not want you to read anything into that statement other than what I've just said. Please don't go reading anything else. What I'm saying is simply this, the government are putting in restrictions and then putting restrictions on us for our safety and our protection. I believe that with all of my heart. This, you know, I've been asked over the last week, let's just go here. I've been asked over the last week about all the conspiracy theories that are out there. And you know as well as I do, you hop on Facebook, you're going to get a gazillion of them. They're out there, everyone's sprouting them, but whatever. You know what I think about the conspiracy theories? This is all I know. I only know the Bible. I've got to go back to the Bible. What does the Bible tell me? The Bible tells me clearly that I am to pray for our leaders and I am to submit to their authority. That's it. When it comes to the conspiracy theorists, that's all I can say. All I know is I'm to pray for my leaders and I'm to submit to their authority. This is what I think about those who propagate conspiracy theories. At the end of the day, they trade on fear and they trade on pride. It's really, that's it. Because fear, let's face it, there's nothing that's going to cause people to hop onto a conspiracy theory like fear. And when I say pride, I'm talking about elitism. Because most people who are sprouting conspiracy theories believe that they know something that everybody else doesn't. You know what the Bible calls that? The Bible calls that pride. I'm not into it. I'm not buying it. I think we need to be praying for our Prime Minister. I think we need to be praying for our premiers in Australia. I think we need to be praying for our frontline workers. Get behind them, cheer them on. To God be the glory. Let's move right along. But the problem is with these restrictions is they still bring about isolation. We've got to face it. And isolation is real. Isolation for believers brings to the individual the same as it brings to non-believers. It doesn't have favourites in that sense. You know as well as I do, isolation brings with it emotional, relational, spiritual, physical, and financial problems. Whether we like it or not, it is a reality that we all need to face. And that's why Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1 says, "A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment." That's a pretty strong verse right there. A man who isolates himself, the man who separates himself, seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. There is wisdom, collective wisdom, in moving forward together in the Word of God. So what should our response be, church? We need to work out how to overcome the spirit of isolation, because I do actually believe there is a spirit of isolation. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily what's happening through the government. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this. The enemy has been at war with humanity forever. What does he do? He wants to isolate. He wants to separate. He wants to bring off to the side those that are weak, those that are vulnerable, those that he may have opportunity to devour them. That's what he does. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We need in this season, our response needs to be to work out how to overcome the spirit of isolation. Now, I say we as a church need to do this, but I'm actually saying to every enjoyer, if you're an enjoyer, take this upon yourself as your responsibility. How can I help my brothers and sisters overcome the spirit of isolation at this stage that would like to bring all of these detrimental realities into their life, emotional, relational, spiritual, physical, and financial realities? It's not going to be good for them. It's going to be detrimental if they're isolated for too long. So what can we do as believers to help people stay connected and to move forward in God? We are ministers of reconciliation. Remember that. That's what we are. When you came to Christ, you stepped into the ministry of reconciliation. We are to reconcile people to the Father and people to each other. So that's why I say, when it comes to conspiracy theories, I don't know about that. What I know is what I've been charged with by the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is to be a minister of reconciliation. If you're in Christ, you are a minister of reconciliation. What can we do in this season to help people overcome the spirit of isolation to be reconciled not only to God, but to each other? And everybody said, amen. The second verse that's been screaming at me is Genesis chapter 4, verse 9. "Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Where is Abel, your brother?' And he said, 'I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?'" I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? Now, you can hear Cain is being a schmuck. That's what he's being. You can hear the attitude in his voice. "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" But how many of you know he did know, because he just killed him? No wonder he's being a schmuck. He is full of attitude. But I want to say to Cain, you need to listen to me. Yes, you are. You are your brother's keeper. I want to say to every enjoyer, because I feel like this is a turning point. What the enemy is meant for harm, God is allowing for our good, that we might rise up and actually be the people of God that God is calling us to be. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, I am. Friends, I want to encourage you today. In Christ, we are all of us are to keep our brothers. We're to keep our sisters. We're to engage and lean in and take on responsibility for the family of God. So while I'm not responsible for their decisions when I extend the hand of fellowship towards them. I'm not responsible for whether they take hold of it or not. I am responsible because I'm a believer to extend that hand of fellowship, believing, hoping that they'll take hold of it, that we might be able to bring them out of isolation in here and back into a place of fellowship. I am my brother's keeper. So what should our response be in this time of restriction in regard to this particular verse? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to give some consideration at the moment to all of your brothers, to all of your sisters, to the family of God that you've been fellowshipping with, many of you now for many years, some of you just recently, and ask yourself the following. Who's absent? Who is absent? Who from your world? Who from your friendship group? Who from your department? Who from your location? Who is absent? Who's off the radar? Who's gone quiet? Who's missing in action? Who has the Lord placed on your heart? Friends, I want to encourage you. Sometimes you're just thinking to yourself, oh, what about that person? Could that thought actually be a spirit-led thought because the Lord wants you to reach out to them? Can I encourage you, this last thought here, who has the Lord placed on our hearts? For me, it is significant. Think about the brothers and sisters that you've been thinking about. Reach out to them. Just reach out to them. Do what you can do. Extend the hand of fellowship toward them and let them lean back in. We are ministers of reconciliation, but we won't reconcile anybody if we don't reach out. That's what we've got to do, which takes me to the third verse today, which I believe is both a shield and a sword to us in this season. It's Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. It says, so don't get tired of doing what is good. Don't get discouraged and give up, for we will reap a harvest of blessing at the appropriate time. And I've put in brackets after that, if you don't give up, if you don't give up, brothers and sisters, we cannot afford to give up in this season. Why does the Bible say, don't get tired? Why does the Bible say, don't get weary? Why does the Bible say, don't get discouraged and don't give up? Because the Lord knows what happens next. And you say, what do you mean, what happens next? The reason the Bible is so don't is because Jesus knows what happens next. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 10. We read it last week. This is what happens. Chapter 6, verse 10 and 11. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit and scarcity like an armed man. So what are we going to do? We're going to make a decision. We're going to lean into the word of God. We're going to understand that the reason the Bible says don't. And we need to understand this. When the Bible is telling you not to do something, it's because you have a choice. It's quite amazing. It's like sometimes I hear people and it's like, oh, I couldn't help myself. I'm like, liar, you could help yourself. Otherwise, it's just making a mockery of the word. You know, Jesus tells us clearly, he's not going to allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear. In this situation, the Bible says three times, don't. The reason it's telling us not to do something and what we can learn from that, don't do this, is we have a choice. Brothers and sisters, you have a choice. Now, maybe what I'm about to say, well, maybe it's just far too simple in some ways, but sometimes simple is best. Let me say it like this in layman's terms. The remedy for that feeling of tiredness, the remedy for that feeling of discouragement, that remedy for wanting to give up is found in doing good. That's right, it is found in doing good. You want to overcome your tiredness? You want to overcome your discouragement? You want to overcome that feeling of just wanting to give up? Can I encourage you? Just continue to do good. Just make a decision right here, right now. I'm going to rise up and I'm going to start doing good. I promise you, if you start doing good, you're not going to feel as tired as you did. If you start doing good, you won't feel as discouraged as you did. If you start doing good, you're going to rise to another level and you're going to begin to lay hold of God in this season when the enemy is trying to blanket you down. You're going to break through the blanket and you're going to begin to fly again. This is what I understand. And this is why doing good is both a shield and a weapon, because on one hand, it will protect us from the fiery darts of the enemy. But on the other hand, doing good is going to take us into the glorious future that God has got for us. When you're committed to doing good, Here we go. Point number one, you attract the favor of God. Who doesn't want to attract the favor of God? You want to attract the favor of God? Do good. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. You know what doing good does? Here we go. When you do good, you're making the most of your time. I don't know about you. Time is what I value most in these days. It's like I just feel like I'm time poor. But when I'm doing good, I'm making the most of the time that I have. What I've learned and grown to understand is when I do good, my hands aren't idle, which means I'm not doing bad. Yeah, there's a part of me that still wants to do bad occasionally, but if I'm committed to doing good, I don't have time to do bad. John chapter 9 from verse 4 says, as long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus understood very clearly his days were numbered. They were numbered before the Lord. He wasn't concerned about anything taking his life before it was time. And I would encourage you in this season, you don't need to fear any virus taking your life. You don't need to fear anything taking your life. If you belong to the Lord, you belong to the Lord. Walk wisely, honor the Lord, worship him, and he will see to it that you will live out all the days that he has allotted you under the sun. There's no doubt about that. But Jesus understood that while he was in the world, he was here to be the light of the world. That's what we are. We are ministers of reconciliation. We are bearers of the good news of the gospel. We bring the hope of Jesus Christ. We are, as he was, the light of the world. As long as we are doing good, here we go. Third thought is this, we're overcoming evil with good. And who doesn't want to do that? We all want to do that. Let's be those in this season who actually overcome evil with good. As in, I think, you know, this COVID virus, it is evil. That's what I think. As in, you look at the statistics from around the world, we have so many members of our church that have been absolutely impacted by this. People have lost family. People have lost businesses. There is so much loss associated with it. It is evil. But you know what? We can overcome evil with good in this season. We need to be the church. We need to rise up and show the world who are lost in this season that there is a glorious hope and his name is Jesus. We need to love one another. We need to speak well of each other. We need to uphold our leaders and pray for them because this is right in the eyes of the Lord. Romans chapter 12, verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I don't know about you, I could get excited right about there. So what have we learned today? This is what we've learned. It's not good for man to be alone. Can I encourage you, brothers and sisters, reach out to somebody. Reach out to somebody. If you've never been part of a friendship group, now is the time. Just hop online. Hop online today. In fact, there's a little hand right there if you're watching on our online platform or if you're on Facebook. Just right there. I want to become part of an online friendship group. Now, I know some of you this time around are less enthusiastic about being part of an online friendship group. I understand it's hard to come around the block again. But brothers and sisters, do not get tired of doing good. It is good for you and it's good for your brothers and sisters to connect. So if you've been part of a group, just connect again. If you've never been part of a group, then I want to encourage you, hit that little hand and say, hey, I want to get connected. If you're a friendship group leader, reach out to all those people that were in your friendship group. Let's none of us grow tired in doing good. Let's all lean in together and we're going to overcome isolation. It's not good for man or for woman or for a family to be alone. We're going to do this together. Secondly, I am my brother's keeper. You are your brother's keeper. We need to be committed one to another. One another. How many times in the New Testament, check it out right now, what does the Bible say, one to another? When Jesus allowed us to be born again by the Spirit of God, what was the first thing he did? He joined us and knit us to the body of Christ. Instantly, we become family, and now, according to Scripture, we belong one to another. It's like we belong to one another, friends. Can I encourage you? Lean in. I am my brother's keeper. Who's missing? Who do I need to go out for? As in, if Jesus never forgets the one, why do we think we can? Why do we can't? Let's be thinking about who's missing. Let's go get them. And thirdly, I must stay committed to doing good. I want to encourage you. Let's be committed. Let's be a people of God who are absolutely committed to doing good in season and out of season, when it's sunshine or when it's raining. We're going to be found doing good. Why? Because we're the people of God. Can I encourage you? Doing good does not amount. Don't find your who you are, your self-esteem, in the results of what you do. Because as long as you find your self-esteem in results, you're always going to be lacking. That's why you go back to scripture. What was the scripture? Do not grow tired in doing good. Don't be discouraged. Don't give up. Because in due time, in the right season, you will reap a harvest. Sometimes we don't see a harvest. We get discouraged. We're like, I don't want to do this anymore. Just keep serving as under the Lord. Keep doing it as under the Lord. And in the fullness of time, you are going to reap a harvest. I promise you, you will reap a harvest relationally, spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially, all the rest of it. You'll reap a harvest if you don't stop doing good. Praise God. I want to encourage you, get yourself into a friendship group. Work out ways that you can care for one another. Creative caring. I want to encourage you, maybe make contact with the pastor, the care pastor in your location, and say, what can we do to care for people in this season? I promise you, they are ready for your call. They are ready to help you and assist you to work out creative ways to be your brothers and your sisters' keepers. If you're part of a department, lean into the department. Let's not stop. Let's be up, about, off the couch, no slumber, no folding the hands, no sleeping, no. No, we're up and about. We're going to continue to do good. Do good, my brothers and sisters. I want to pray for everybody now. I want to pray for those people that are watching in today, and you've never been part of the body of Christ. You've never had your spirit come alive in God. Friends, I want to encourage you today. You would have heard the enthusiasm in my voice, and you might be like, man, he's passionate about this. I'm passionate because 32 years ago, Jesus came into my life. 33 years ago. It is 33 years ago. Man, it's flying. And it's like he came into my life and my life was radically changed instantly. I gave him my life. I came alive in him. I became aware that God is alive and he wants to be alive in me. Friends, I want to encourage you today. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, can I encourage you? Today is the day. Today is the day. There's all sorts of stuff happening all over the world. But you know what? You can know that you're alive in Christ. And if you know you're alive in Christ, well, you can avoid the fear and a lot of the heartache that's going to be associated with what's going on out there. But you need to give your life to Jesus. The Bible tells us clearly that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us the wages for that sin is death. But the Bible also tells us that the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So I want to encourage you today, if you're watching in, which obviously you are, because that's the only way we're doing church, but I want to encourage you today, if you're not right with God, can I encourage you, give your life to Christ today? On our online platform, there's a little raised hand down there that says, I want to give my life to Jesus. Just hit that little raised hand right now. Say, I want to give my life to Jesus. If you're on a Facebook page, can I encourage you, just write in that comment section there, I want to give my life to Jesus. Someone from our team there is going to pick you up and we're going to help you continue on in a journey in God that will literally transform and change the rest of your life. So today, you want to give your life to Christ, hit that little raised hand. I want to give my life to Jesus. Write in the comment section, I want to give my life to Jesus, and we're going to pray for you right here, right now. Let's all pray together. Dear Jesus, I thank you today for bringing me to this place that I might give my life to you. Today, Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my all. I ask you, Jesus, to forgive me of my sin and help me, Lord, to live a life that is both pleasing and honoring of you. Today, Lord, I give you my life. I give you my all. And I believe from this day on, that you are my Lord, my Savior, my God, and my friend. And from this day on, I am your child, and I'll never be alone again. In Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said together, amen and amen and amen. Praise God. Before we go, I want to pray for every enjoyer. Every enjoyer. The secret source, your secret weapon, your shield and your sword is in you doing good. Doing good. I want to encourage every enjoyer to make it your ambition, make it your desire. Understand, it is not good for man to be alone. We don't want to be alone. Understand that we are our brother's keeper. And understand this, we are born to do good. When we're born again, it's double portion good. We are made alive by the Spirit of God that we might live a life that is pleasing and honoring to God. When you're doing good, you're in the right space, and it's a shield and it's also a weapon. So we're going to pray right now for every man, every woman, all across the life of Enjoy, that saying together, I want to do good in the name of the Lord. I want to do good for the name of the Lord. I want to live an upright life in Christ and be a blessing to the body, that together we might step forward triumphantly into the glorious life that He has got for us. So I just want to pray blessing over you. If that's you, just raise both hands up before you right now. Father, I speak blessing in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for every brother and sister that's making a decision today to do good. I pray, Almighty God, that together we would rise in faith, that we would have eyes on you, that we would understand it is not good for man to be alone. And we know that, Lord, from within our very own hearts, we understand it's not good for man to be alone. Lord, we understand that we are our brother's keeper. This is what you've commissioned us to be in you. We are members one of another, Lord God. And Lord, we will look out for our brothers and we'll look out for our sisters. And today, Lord God, I pray for each and every one of us, that together, Almighty God, together, we would commit to doing good, would commit to doing good to each other. We would commit to doing good in the world in which we live. We would commit to doing good. We will not grow weary. We will not grow tired. We will not be discouraged, and we will not give up, but we'll keep our eyes on you. We'll lean into each other. Lord, we're going to step back into friendship group. We'll step back into departments. We'll step into the locations, and Lord, we will work together for the good name of Jesus. We will work together that the salvation of Jesus might be released upon the earth in and through the church, Lord God. Lord, we declare that you are good and there is none like you. And I pray, Lord God, as my brothers and sisters commit to doing good, may your goodness rest upon them now and always in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said together, amen and amen. God bless you, church. Kidmania is coming your way. You don't want to miss out on Kidmania today. It is going to be awesome. God bless you, everyone. We'll see you real soon. Bye for now.